Good morning. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Lord's Day today. I'm really happy to see you. Let me tell you, if you're a visitor this morning, not only are you honored guests, but also you're always in our lessons. We're always mindful of you on our lessons, that we may present a lesson that may be clear, biblical, encouragement, and also uplifting God, and that you may be encouraged by the word. And thank you for being this morning with us. And just to begin, I was thinking about in Romans chapter 8, and I'll go back to it later and as the lesson finishes. But Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, he writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed unto us." Thinking about this, I came to the conclusion that doing the right thing is not always easy and might not always yield the results we're looking for. Sometimes for the apostles, this meant tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Let me tell you something. This is what I want us to focus on this morning. There is a direct relationship between faith, between obedience to God, and God's providence. I want to propose to you in this lesson this morning that sometimes doing what's right is not easy or may yield unexpected results. But even if we do what's right and it might not be the best for our benefit, still we're honoring God. And when we honor God, we're accessing His providence. And He's not going to leave us alone when difficult times may come due to us making the right choices. This is what I want to focus on this lesson on this morning. And to do so, I would like to go to Genesis chapter 42. And I'm going to go through a story that happened to Jacob back in Genesis chapter 42. So if you have your Bibles, please open the scriptures back to this section of the scripture. And we're going to begin in verse number 1 in chapter 42. Notice the text. This is, we're going to see in the first place, Jacob's love for Benjamin, his son. Notice beginning in verse 1, Genesis 42, you're all with me there. "When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, 'Why do you look at one another?'" And of course, we remember there was a great famine. In fact, there was a severe famine, not only if it got in Egypt, but also in all of the lands. But of course, Egypt was the one where appropriate storage of grain has been done by Joseph. So Jacob tells his children, "Why do you look at each other?" And then verse 2, notice what happened. And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to the place and buy it for us there. Notice that we may live and not die." The reason why Jacob said, "Go ahead and buy grain," is because this is a life or death matter. Our lives are at risk, so we need to go down to Egypt and go ahead and go and buy food for us so that we may not die. But notice Jacob's plan. Verse 3. So he sends, so Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. Wait a minute, didn't Joseph have 11 brothers?
Yes.
Where's the other one? Okay. Now, we see here that Jacob has plans for the other brother that is missing from this trip. Notice verse 4. "But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers." Notice what his reason is. "For he said, 'Let some calamity befall him.'" Why was Jacob afraid to send Benjamin along with his brothers on this quest to finding food for their lives? Well, we know from the scripture that Benjamin, he was the only child left that he had with Rachel, his beloved wife. So he's afraid, you see the word calamity, "let some calamity befall him." This is the same thing. Have in mind what happened to Joseph. When Joseph was sent to seek for his brothers and he, like a beast in the field, killed him and devoured him. This is what he has in mind. Remember, this is all he knows. Joseph was devoured by this beast. So he's thinking about this type of calamity in his mind. Not only that, but also his son Joseph, for all that Jacob knew, was already dead. And also he loved Benjamin. And we're going to see that the soul of Jacob was tied to the soul of Benjamin. Okay, this is his favorite son now. Took Joseph's place. Okay, so it also was, Benjamin was his son in his old age. Okay, his favorite little son. So it was hard for him to let him go with them. He didn't want them to go. Okay, now we're going to fast forward. We're going to look at this story from the perspective of Jacob. Okay. This story is full of providence, and that's where I'm going, to divine providence, but we're going to see it from the perspective of Jacob. Now, if we fast forward to verse 29, notice what's happened right there in verse 29. Okay? Now, the children of Jacob come back, okay? Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that what had happened to them, saying, okay, they told the story, that we came to Egypt, the ruler of Egypt received us, but he thought we were spies. And then in the conversation, we told them, yes, our father is still alive, and we still have one more son, he's not with us, it's just us 10 right now. And then the ruler said, well, if you're not spies, then go ahead and go back. I'm going to keep one of you, and you're going to bring the other son you're talking about, bring him back. Of course, Joseph knew what he was doing when he requested of this of them. Now, this might make us think to be careful when we hold on too tight to something, because maybe the Lord might require that of us. Okay, maybe the Lord might require that thing to which we hold the most dear. Because if that becomes a stumbling block for our growing as Christians, if that becomes a stumbling block for the release of the God's providence, maybe we might need to get rid of it. We don't know. That might happen. Okay? Do you remember Abraham? He was asked for his son to sacrifice. His dearest and only son. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He was asked only one thing. To get rid of his property. And that's the thing he loved the most. And that's the thing that we held the blessings from Christ. Behold, he wanted to hold on to that thing which he loved the dearest, which was his possessions. Okay? But now we come back to this section of the story. And then they're telling the story. And then Jacob, notice in verse 36, I'm back in Genesis 42. Okay, verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said to them, children, you have bereaved me. I'm in grief. Why? Because Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. He stayed back in Egypt as a prisoner. And now you want to take Benjamin, my dearest son, my precious possession, my favorite child. You want to take him away from him? It's not going to happen. Especially not now that we have plenty of food that you already brought back from Egypt. Okay, so we see that Jacob decided not to do anything. Despite that Simeon was back in Egypt. He said, well, no, we're going to just leave it like it is. Let's forget about it. Let's eat the food. Let's enjoy ourselves. I'm glad you're back. That's it. Notice verse 38. Reuben tried to plead with him, but notice the conclusion of Jacob. Verse 38, but he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he's left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, when you will bring him down, my gray hair with sorrow unto the grave. If something happens to the child, even the thought of him traveling, and maybe calamity might happen to me, my heart will be so broken that it's going to precipitate my death. That's what he's saying right here. Okay, this is not something lightly for him. Letting Benjamin go is very interesting. That's the thing that God is requiring of him in order to prosper him and save him, save their lives. Very interesting. So he decides not to send Benjamin back. Okay, we can see the love of Jacob for Benjamin. Now, in the second part of this story, we see now that Jacob is now changed his mind and is willing to do a sacrifice. Okay, now keep in mind again, if we go, we turn to just flip the pages, right there in chapter 43, okay, in the next chapter, verse 1. Now notice again, now the famine was severe in the land. Now there was this temporal measure for them to relieve their hunger, okay, but the famine was still several years ahead of them, okay? There's still more years of famine to go. So they run out of the goods they brought from Egypt, and the famine was severe on the land. And then notice verse 2. And it came to pass that when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought down from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. Okay, he's determined to keep his decision not to send Benjamin. He's just ignoring it. He's just not paying attention to it. He doesn't want to send him. He doesn't want to put him at risk. He doesn't want him to die like Joseph did. Or maybe he didn't trust the brothers that they would take care of Benjamin. Okay, even though there were 10 of them. Okay, but the famine was still severe in all the land. And Jacob was still determined to do the same thing he did at the beginning. But now, he was withholding God's blessings by making this decision. Okay? Notice what happened then. Then, we have the decision he made. Let me show you something that happened here. There's some reasoning. Okay? Sometimes, we might be mistaken. Sometimes, we may be in the wrong. Sometimes, we may be blinded. Okay? We might be blinded by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes might blind us to do the right thing, even when we know that's the right thing. Maybe favoritism is also blinding us from doing the right thing, and we don't want to do it because it pertains to our family. And we know we need to do something about it, but we're blinded by favoritism. I don't know, we might be blinded by our earthly possessions, by our work, by our income, I don't know, you name it. Many things can blind us from doing the right thing, even though we know that's the right thing to do, or we're doing something wrong. So Judah realizes this, and he steps up. And he says, wait a minute, Dad. Yes, you want us to go. Well, there's a problem. That gentleman, that ruler in Egypt, told us that he was not going to see us unless we bring back Benjamin with us. Now we have an issue here. Judah is stepping up for the truth. And he's confronting his father, Jacob, for what he's not willing to do, trusting God by sending Benjamin with them and trusting God by sending Benjamin so that they can bring back some food for their life. Now, keep in mind the main point of this lesson, that what I'm trying to see. Doing what's right may not always yield the results in the way we expect them. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes if we let God's providence work, the results are going to be even better than we expect. A lot of the times, if we let God's providence work by obeying His commandments. So, even though there may be something adverse that may come, you know, like the apostles' persecution, that's why they received. And now Jacob, he's worried about his son being dead. Still, God's providence will be on your side and you're going to be a conqueror when you obey God's commandments. Now, you remember Matthew 18, 8 and 9? When it says, if your eye is an occasion of stumbling block, just take it out. If your foot is an occasion of stumbling block, just cut it off. It's better to go to heaven like that than to go to hell, your whole body complete. There's some things we might need to get rid of in order for us to do the will of the Lord. So now what happens? Well, Judah reasons with his father, and he gives him some reasons why he needs to send Benjamin with them. The first reason is, that we may notice in verse 8, 43 verse 8, then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go. Notice, first reason, that we may live and not die, both we and you also, and our children. Say, father, not only you're not noticing that it's not only you and I who are going to die, it's also all of our wives and all of your grandchildren are going to die if you decide to hold on to Benjamin. Do you see the cost, the high cost of your decision? And then he gives him another reason. Okay, I myself will be a surety for him. I'm going to respond for him. Okay, I'm going to represent him. I'm going to take care of him. Okay, and then something else that he gave him to his father, verse 10, he said, if we had not lingered, he's saying, father, you have lingered in your decision for too long. If we have not lingered, by this time we would have been gone to Egypt and back with Benjamin with plenty of food. But you've been just lingering, waiting to do what you know was right for you to do from the beginning. You're just waiting, and you know you need to do it. Okay, I hope you're following me here in this point. So now, with this reasoning factor, Jacob changes his mind. And this is what happens in real life sometimes. We might be mistaken, we might be in sin, we might be blinded, but there's someone else who sees our mistakes and tells us about our mistakes. In fact, we're responsible, according to Galatians 6:1, that we see someone else in sin, that we may, those who are spiritual, rebuke him in kindness. Watching yourself first, lest you also may be tempted. That's biblical. So, it took faith, it took obedience for Jacob to say, I'm gonna get rid of my son. Because as I stated, as we read in the scripture, this is his beloved son. This is his most precious possession on earth. His son of his wife Rachel, his son of his old age, his favorite child, the only brother remaining from Joseph, his favorite child before Benjamin. Notice what happens. Verse 11. And the father of Israel said to them, If it must be so, then do this. And he gives them some instructions. But I want you to notice beginning at verse 13. He says, take also your brother and arise and go back to the man. Take your brother. Okay, take him. I understand. I cannot have both worlds. I need to sacrifice him in order to keep you alive, to keep us alive. I need to do a sacrifice. I need to put myself out of the picture and focus on you so that you can have plenty of food to eat, so that we can live. Take him. Verse 14. Genesis 43, verse 14. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your brother Simon, and also let Benjamin come back. And if I am bereaved, I'm willing to be bereaved. If I'm going to be sad because my son is going to die, I'm willing to sacrifice my own desire for the good of all of you. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. What a powerful couple of phrases here, words. Let it be so. I'm going to submit to the will of God. I know that not everything is in my hands. I know that I cannot control what would happen to Benjamin. The only thing I know is that the only way for us to survive and the right thing to do is for me to sacrifice my love and desire for Benjamin. And if something happens to him, I know I'm going to die. Let it be. I wish more of us would have this same attitude when it came to our things that hindered us from doing the will of God. So many things, we get so complicated when we're old. So many things and so many details and that keeps us from doing the will of God. And we see great faith in this man Jacob here. Let it be. Whatever happened, let it happen. Now what he didn't know is that he had just unleashed or just become one part of the chain of divine providence. By his decision, he could have caught God's providence if he wouldn't choose to sacrifice his son, but he said, okay, let's do it. And then he became part of this wonderful chain of divine providence that began when the day that they threw Joseph in that hole and they sold him to Egypt and so on and so forth. And then it's going to end with them going back to Egypt. Now, the next time he sees them, okay, after they talk to Joseph and so on and so forth, Joseph, he sees these chariots coming back from Egypt with his children in them. And then they told him, you know that your son Joseph is alive. Not only did he get the food they needed to live, okay, not only did they recuperate Simon, not only did he keep Benjamin alive, but for all that he knew, Joseph resuscitated, came back to life for him. Because he's been dead for more than 10 years. Just imagine that feeling. This is God's providence in movement. Sometimes we want to see a miracle here, miracle there, and the world of religion is so fond of miracles that we overlook God's providence. It works. And when we pray and when we obey God's commandments, it's going to work for us. That's why in Romans 8, Paul says, all things work for good to those who fear God. Work for good. There's divine providence behind it. And God moves. Remember James 4:17 when he said, if you don't do what's right, you're sinning? That also was probably in Jacob's mind. If he didn't do what's right, he was going against the will of God. We need to be willing to get rid of sin. Whatever is hindering us from God listening to our prayers. Remember when a husband is bitter toward his wife, his prayers are hindered. In other words, there's sin in the home. And God is not going to pay attention to those prayers. So, we have to be willing to get rid of whatever is keeping us from doing the right thing and obeying God's commandments. Now, I'm not going to keep you here for long, okay? I'm just shooting for 25 minutes, and I'm thinking I'm getting there. So, I'm going to wrap it up, okay? I can see some smiles there, so that's good. Very, very good. I was going to go on. I'm going to skip this section, but the same phrase that Jacob used, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved, is used all along the scriptures. Okay? You remember these four lepers when they were in the northern kingdom? You know, the city of Samaria was surrounded by army. People were starving to death. These four lepers were at the wall. And then they say, well, what should we do? They're reasoning among themselves. They say, what should we do? Should we stay at the wall? Should we go back to the city? We die. We stay at the wall, we die. The only option we have is go surrender ourselves, okay, to the army of the Syrians, lest maybe they might forgive us and just let us leave. That's the only chance we have. That's the right thing to do. So they went there, and God's providence worked. When they showed to the camp, no Syrians were there. All the spoils were left behind when they left. And you know, they said before they walk there, they say, if they kill us, they kill us. That's what they say. Let it be. Whatever happened may happen. We know what's right. We're going to do what's right, no matter if we die. But then there was a turn of events, and there's providence for their sakes. Now, the same thing we can say about Boaz, okay? This was the man in the book of Ruth. He fell in love with Ruth, but there was a problem. Ruth wasn't available to get married until the next available representative or relative chose to marry her or not. So here's the picture. Boaz, he's in love with this lady, but he said, well, there's someone else who has the first right to marry you according to our law. Instead of us just running away because I love you, you love me, let's just forget about the law, let's just get together and get married and just forget about that law. He said, no, I'm going to go and look for the relative, and I'm going to tell him what's happening. And notice what he says. If he will perform the duty and marry you, he says, good. If he's going to take me away from you, that's okay. Let him do it. If it happens, it happens. But I'm doing the right thing. Okay? Same thing happened to those three Hebrew captives in Babylon. When there was a big statue, and they were commanded to bow down before the statue, and they did not. And then they were called up in front of the king, and they'd say, King, we're not going to worship your statue because we know God is faithful and he can deliver us from this fiery furnace or whatever punishment you're going to bring us. But I want to let you know, for the record, King, that even if he does not save us, we're still not going to bow down. So if we die, we die. But we're not going to bow down because we know what's right. In this case, it wasn't providence. In this case, it was a direct miracle that they were still alive in the fiery furnace. But there's one more story you might be thinking about. You know, remember Queen Esther? When all the kingdom was of the Israelites was to be put to death by a commandment of the Medes and the Persians. And then Mordecai came and reasoned with her, just like Judah reasoned with Jacob. And I say, think about what you're doing, because you might be the reason why you're in the throne. You're the queen, because God is going to deliver the people. And then Queen Esther said, gather all the people and let them pray for me. I'm going to fast and pray with my ladies. And if I perish, let it be. Do you see this same line of thought along the scriptures? If I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. Sometimes we think, if I'm bereaved, then I'm not going to do it. If I'm going to suffer as a Christian, then I'm not going to be a Christian. Okay, if I'm going to have a hard time putting away some things that I do, my habits, or doing things that are wrong, then I'm just going to stay away from church. Okay, if I'm going to have to put away this sinful relationship I had with someone else, then I'm not going to get anywhere close to the church, not even study the Bible with a minister. I hope you're getting the point I'm doing. Okay? But when we surrender to God, then God is going to unleash His divine providence towards His children. His special providence. Okay, we all enjoy the general providence of God, like the sun, the moon, the stars, the air. That's general providence, but special providence is what we're looking at in these cases. But anyways, what can we learn from this? Okay, first thing I can think of, all right, and I'm just hit the 25-minute point. What can we learn from this? Well, we can learn that there's just like there's physical priorities, there's also spiritual priorities. And that's just like you have a wrong priority, there's also correct priorities. I get to talk to people sometimes whose life is just a mess. And I say, okay, what are your priorities? Okay, this, and that. Well, sometimes this, and that are the wrong priorities. And you know what you need to do to make your life better. You need to change your priorities and do what's right instead of doing what pleases you. So there's different priorities we need to take into consideration. Now, what also can we learn? Well, we need husbands, we need wives, we need husbands and parents, just like Jacob, who are willing to sacrifice themselves for their families. And you say, wait a minute, Raphael, in this room everybody is sacrificing for their families. Yes, I understand, but it's not the case everywhere. There's parents or husbands who are selfish and who rather take care of themselves rather than take care of their wives and take care of their children. We need more parents like Jacob who are willing to reason when someone talks to them when they're wrong and they're willing to make changes, appropriate changes in their lives. Okay? We need more Christians who are willing to stand up for what's right and do it no matter what consequences may come. I know persecution in this country is not the same and it used to be back in those other countries of we were reading the Bible, but it's different type of persecution that we may face, and we need to be willing to stand up for what's right, no matter what happens. Okay? We need more Christians who are willing to reason from the Scriptures with other Christians. Also, we need more people. We need to be willing to accept any kind of consequence that may come and bring glory to God. We need more Christians like Esther, who may say, if I perish, I perish. We need more Christians like Jacob who said, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. We need more people like Boaz who say, well, if he takes you for his wife because he's his right, then he'll take you. I'll be fine. But if he doesn't take you, then I will take you. And then I'll be happy, the more happy, if I can marry you. We need to trust in God's divine providence. Very interesting how without the challenge of Judah, the only thing that Jacob was going to get back was going to be some food and some food. But when he heeded to the challenge and decided to send Benjamin, he got back more than what was expected of him. When we do what's right, we have God's providence on our side. And let me finish with this short story. When I went to, in the month of February, I went to the Rio to do a translation for someone who was speaking in a public school on biblical topic. And then as I was driving down to the Rio, right before I hit the checkpoint, if you've been down there, there's a checkpoint, you know, they see your paperwork and stuff. I thought, man, I forgot my visa. Okay? And then I thought, I might just need to not go. I just need to go back. But then I said, no, what's right is to do what we're going to do. Because if I don't go, who's going to translate? So I went, and I said, let's see, whatever happened will happen. Okay? So time comes for me to come back. I stop at the checkpoint, and I told the officer, I say, you know, I left this morning very early for the Rio. I forgot my visa, and I have it. Here's a picture of it, and my wife is back there in San Angelo, and so on. And then after he thought about it, he said, okay, you can go. And I said, great. And I was so happy. You know, Nancy, you can stop praying now. We have our prayers answered. Now, when I get to San Angelo, first thing, I talk to Brian and say, Raphael, I know what happened to you at the checkpoint. I say, you know what? How do you know what happened to me? I haven't told anyone but Nancy. And he said, Raphael, my truck was standing right behind yours as you were talking to that official. That is pure and complete God divine providence. I cannot call it anything else. Okay? He being behind me, if they were going to arrest me or something, you know, someone who can attest that I am who I'm saying I am. If that makes sense. Okay? If you're not a Christian, please come and enjoy God's providence. He's going to bless you. There might be hard times, but a lot of them will be good times. We're not promised everything will be good time. But we're going to have God in our sight. If you're a Christian, if there's any way we can help you today, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.